With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Oh, hello, everybody. And how the dickens are you doing? This is Brian Gittins here. I actually changed my name last week to Lenny, so I'm now Lenny Gittins. So welcome to the Lenny Gittins and Friends podcast. I didn't really. Still Brian. It'll always be Brian. Well, whichever way you look at it, really. You can call me what you like, you know. You can call me anything you want. Lenny, Brian, Thomas, anything you want. It's entirely up to you. No one cares. I've just got a stain on my coffee table. Must have been where I sat on it. I sat on it last night, totally nude. And I didn't mean to, but I did. Anyway, so welcome to the Thomas Gittins and Friends podcast. And we haven't heard that. Yeah, you probably haven't heard from us for a while, have you? No, we haven't had a little break, have we? Didn't hurt anyone to have a little break. I don't think you probably haven't missed us. Have you missed us? Please say you've missed us. Please say you've missed us. Thank you. That's very, very nice of you. Anyway, this episode is a sex therapist. Is with a sex therapist, Annabelle Knight. And it's one of my favourite episodes, I've got to be honest with you. It's a little bit naughty, it's a little bit on the rude side, a little bit on the blue side, but, you know, I like a bit of blue. Don't mind a bit of blue. So this is David chatting to sex therapist Annabelle Knight. What can I tell you? Yes, I can tell you something, actually. I can tell you something. The Honk Show is this week, this Thursday, at the Moth Club. The Honk Show, the open mic comedy tournament that I MC. It's my favourite ever gig that I've ever done. It beats Wembley. Oh, it beats the time I took the roof off Wembley. So if you want to come to the Moth Club in Hackney on this Thursday, on the 17th, then come along. And you get to see the stars of the future. And if you don't like what you see on the stage, then by all means, tell them to fuck off. Because that's why we enjoy the night. That's why we enjoy the night. If you do like them, then by all means, clap and cheer and laugh and do all that. But I'm bored of all that. If you don't like them, tell them to sling their hook. Okay, so that's, like I said, that's this Thursday, the Moth Club, and blah, 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 blah. If you want to support the podcast, then please go to Patreon, David Earle's Patreon. Who's David Earle, you ask? Well, don't ask that question, it's confusing. But if you want to support the podcast, then please go to Patreon, David Earle's Patreon. I just saw a car go backwards up a road. That's not that mad. But it did look mad. I was looking out my window and a car just went backwards up the road. It's rare that you see those things. So when you do see them, you got to mention them, especially if you're doing a podcast intro. Okay, anyway, let's crack on. Just to let you know, we have booked some new guests. So we're going to do a new series of the podcast. And that will probably start around maybe November now. So if you're a fan of the podcast, and I know there are about 17 of you out there that sort of enjoy it, then that'll probably get your old knackers pumped up and juicy. I don't know what I'm talking about. Anyway, let's get on with the old podcast. David Edwards, Charles the Robot, and sex therapist Annabelle Knight. Oh my word. Oh. Hello, everybody, and welcome. Can you put your coat down, please, David?
Absolutely. I apologise. Sorry, let's keep organised.
Okay, so welcome to the Brian Getting Some Friends podcast. We're on about episode... Who cares what episode we're on? I don't care. I generally don't care these days. Do you care, David?
I do, because it shows... Sorry, keep it to a normal volume. I do, because it shows...
Okay, cheers.
That's so, all right, not a
Charles, Charles is here. Charles the robot's here. He's always here. You're right,
I have
Charles.
Just made my first baguette.
Wow. Just made his first baguette.
Wow. Oh, wonderful. Hope you enjoy it.
What are you going to put in it, Charles? We're going to put
tuna and mayo.
Tuna and mayo. Fascinating.
Great choice.
Okay. So welcome to this podcast. And our guest this week, I'm very excited, David.
I'm very excited.
Our guest will give the name, David.
Annabelle Knight.
Excellent. He never gets the guest names right, Annabelle.
I feel so hugely privileged.
Wow. You should do.
Because I do have a thing where I'm on the spot, I've got to come up with the name, and it just... I mean, you're obviously a specialist of psychology. Why do you think that is?
Sorry. You can't ask any questions.
Sorry.
Not without paying my hourly rate.
No.
Well said.
David gets one chance.
What is her real name, David?
Annabelle Knight...
No, her real name.
Is her real name, David?
I don't know your real... I thought that was your real
What's
name.
What's her real
it
name?
It is.
Oh, easy is her real
not.
Name. Oh, right.
It's not. What is her real name?
I don't have any other name. I'd just be making one up, so that wouldn't
we'll
be a real
it
name.
Up. What's her real name?
Lizzie Froth.
Yeah, Lizzie Froth.
Jesus Christ, how do you do that?
How do you do that, David?
That's incredible.
Lizzie Froth. Lizzie Froth.
It's also correct.
Goodness me, there you
Elizabeth,
go.
Elizabeth Froth. Incredible.
M.R.S. Froth.
Telepathic.
Okay. I was sending it
picking
to
up
you.
The signals.
No,
indeed,
we're joking.
Them up.
It is Annabelle.
It's just Annabelle Knight.
This is Froth.
Yeah, there we go. Okay. This is Froth.
So, Annabelle.
This is Froth.
Mrs. Froth. Annabelle, thanks for coming along.
Thank you for having me.
Have you listened to the podcast before?
I have. Yeah. Adam Buxton and James Acaster were my favourite episodes. And James
steady.
And I actually share a favourite year, which I...
Oh.
Thought was kind of a sign, so I have been stalking him now. 1999, we were both 14. It's meant to be.
Well, David's favourite year is 1997, so maybe you two just weren't quite connected.
Damn it.
Do you know, 1999, a lot of people say it's a popular year.
Don't point, David.
Sorry, put the old point in a way. They say it was one of the best years for cinema, 1999.
Boring. Okay, so...
There we go. Yeah,
okay,
yes.
Boring.
Worst episode.
Worst episode. So, Annabelle...
Worst episode.
Okay, mate, chill out. So, Annabelle, this episode, we are prisoners of war.
Okay.
And which war are we...
That classic old war, Vietnam.
Okay. So, we're prisoners of war, and we're digging a hole throughout this episode to escape. That's where we are. So, where are we right now, David?
Right now, we're in a Vietnamese prison. We have bamboo wood all around us. It's very sort of Rambo Part 2. But one of the actual guards...
Are you into Rambo Part 2, Annabelle?
I haven't seen Rambo Part 1, so I fear it would be lost on me.
Right. No, not at all. Part 2 is quite different.
Right.
He's in Vietnam.
Boring.
No,
good
boring.
Morning,
get rid
Vietnam.
Of that. Good
yeah.
morning, Vietnam.
Good yep. morning, Vietnam.
Morning. Okay. And one of the guards, rather sloppily, has left a shovel, and we're taking it in turns to actually dig through the dirt, create a tunnel, come out the other end in the jungle... And try and actually get a helicopter to get us back to Blighton.
Okay, so that's the situation. That's where we're at. That's
okay,
we're
well,
at.
It sounds terrifying.
It is.
I'm in.
You're right to be scared.
Well, you're safe with us, aren't you? Annabelle, what do you like to call yourself? We said to Annabelle, what are you?
Oh, do you know, it really depends on kind of what I'm doing. I tend to just go for sex and relationship expert because it's a bit of an umbrella term and everything that I do kind of fits under there.
Do you get tired of sex?
But you know, it does become a bit of a busman's holiday. I talk about it 24/7.
Yeah.
So when I do it for a job, it's kind of something that I always chat with my friends. And I'm very bad at making money, so I don't tend to charge for any advice. People just write to me, and I always feel sorry for them. My heart goes out, so I spend a lot of time, kind of. For free, just helping other people kind of get through their everyday lives, because therapists and counsellors and coaches can be very expensive. So it does become a bit of a busman's holiday, but fortunately it's a bus that I rather enjoy being on.
Well, we're going to exploit that, aren't we, David?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Some self-discovery, please.
Okay.
Because I'm to pay you for today.
Yeah, what's that?
Because we have a right sex case on our hands with David.
We have got David is a sex case.
A sex case?
Yes.
I shall start a file.
To pay you for today.
Okay, got that, mate. Why are you a sex case? What is a sex case?
I think there's walls that are encasing me and my sexuality. And I think I want to hover above those walls and escape. I've created my own prison. I'm the prisoner and the warden.
Well, considering we have a shovel, you should dig underneath those walls.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't know why. I get nervous or I lose energy. And it's like, oh, I'll just have a nap in the prison type of thing. And you wake up and it's another day. And it just carries on. It's like a groundhog day.
Stop these metaphors, David.
Yeah, you're quite right.
Because we'll get confused.
Yeah, you're quite right. So it's a case of I need to explore more sexually, I think.
Okay, well, we'll come back to that.
Be adventurous or new people or the same person?
New people.
New people.
Yes.
Okay. We can do this.
We can do this.
This can be the first step into the advertisement, if you like, of putting you out there.
That would
be amazing. That would be great.
Yeah.
That would be really good.
Because you come across really well on the podcast. So I imagine there are loads of girls that want to screw you.
Hopefully, yes.
You're allowed to definitely. Screw these days.
I think so. It's the Americans use it as a term.
Yeah. They do, yeah, definitely. I've heard it occasionally.
So I don't see why not. I think you can use that.
Okay, so the first question of the podcast, David, is... first question is from me, and that question is... We're going back to your 14-year-old self bedroom. What did it look like?
Lots of movie memorabilia, basically. So I had...
So we walked through your door. What did we see first?
The first thing you'll see is my duvet, which is of the Ewoks.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a big fan of the Ewoks, Return of the Jedi. And it was them having a party because Darth Vader had been slayed.
Darth
Vader. Such a fan.
Had been slayed type of thing.
It's Darth Vader.
It's Darth Vader.
Darth Vader. Quite okay. Right. So it's an Ewok party celebrating the death of Darth Vader.
On your duvet.
Absolutely.
Then what? Then what else in the bedroom?
Then I had a massive...
What is an Ewok?
Ewok is a bear creature that will probably come up to my waist now, about 3 foot, skilled in making spears or bow and arrows, and very much a community... bond together, fight together, eat together, sleep together.
Okay, and what did we...
Cool.
What do we next see in your bedroom?
Next to my actual bed is a very large American football helmet, but click a button inside, it's a lamp.
It sounds wonderful.
It was very... I think during the 80s, we were very influenced by the Americans because it's pre-internet. So anything the Americans had, I wanted a slice of... So that would be Captain Crunch, the cereal, Ninja Turtles. But I think because of the internet, now it's become an even playing field.
I wasn't around till 1985, so they kind of passed me by. I missed this American...
Gosh, it makes me feel so old, that does.
You look old, actually.
I do. I'm feeling it more and more, unfortunately.
Yeah.
No, not at all. I won't have that. Don't.
Oh, that's
don't
very good
say
of you.
Such things.
Boosting my self-esteem.
Absolutely, and my chances of appearing on this podcast again. Hopefully.
Don't worry about that. Everyone's welcome.
David, what else is in your room? What else?
The other thing that's on one of my walls is my homework timetable. My dad was a real stickler for homework and revision for tests.
Sounds a laugh.
And that was very much what I had to do on a Saturday and a Sunday before going out and playing with my friends.
Okay.
Which usually was dressing up in camo and playing army.
Okay. And so I'm looking over to the... I've just walked into the centre of the room. I've looked over to the right. What am I looking at?
You're looking over to the right. So there would be a Goonies poster. I remember I had that.
Yeah.
And a Care Bears poster.
What?
Care Bears. It's a bit feminine for me to be interested. Do you remember the Care Bears?
Oh, I loved the Care Bears.
Yes, so I was a fan of them.
Okay.
Like most 80s kids. It's more girl-focused. Mm. I don't know why I was as interested, but I was.
Which was your favourite Care Bear?
It was a nighttime bear who had a moon on its stomach.
Oh, yeah, we love that one.
And I don't know what the power was that would shoot out of his or her stomach, but I remember that was my first care bear that I had purchased for me. And
Bit rude.
It wasn't rude, not at all. It was a very wholesome bear, and it's about, you know, getting some shut eye at night time, getting your 8 hours in. Nothing inappropriately erotic about that.
Okay, and lastly, I look over to the left and down on the floor. What do I see?
Down on the floor, you would see a big fan of Scalextrics.
Next to that.
Next to that, a pair of Nike Jordan trainers. Mm-hmm. I was very much into my trainers. I had a pair of Nikes there.
Under that, under your trainers.
Under my trainers would have been a carpet, and the carpet was very interesting. I'm 14, so I was a bit old for it.
Under the carpet.
Under the carpet.
Under the carpet would have been wooden planks.
Under the wooden planks.
Under the wooden planks. I'm imagining there'd be pipes, because there was a shower right next to me.
Under the pipes.
Under the pipes. You're now in the lounge.
Under the lounge.
Under the lounge, once again, I would imagine pipes or wires.
Under the pipes and wires.
Under the pipes and wires, you'd have clay or earth.
Under that, keep digging.
Under that, when I was 14, I was living on the outskirts of Chichester, which the Romans had obviously inhabited, and I think you'd start entering into other eras.
Under that.
Under that, you would... I mean, I'm not a scientist, but I think you'd find the core, the beginnings of the core of the earth.
Under that.
You'd find lava.
Under that.
Under that, you would start coming up into a new country, which I'm imagining would be Australia. Under Australia?
Yeah.
Under Australia would be... I think you go back to the core of the earth, and then you just come back to me.
Here we go. Okay, well, let's come back to you then, under that.
Then you would have clay, Roman archaeological artifacts.
Under that.
Under that, you go back to the core of the earth. And then you would go back to Australia. So it's basically Chichester, core of the earth, Australia, and you just be going backwards and forwards. Okay.
Annabelle, have you got your first question for David?
First question.
Here we go, Annabelle's first question.
My first question, drum roll please, was at what point in your life, going back, did you have, because you are obviously a very funny person, but for us mere mortals, we deign to be funny through regurgitating film quotes or jokes we've heard. At what point in your life, what memory... was your first when you thought, I'm actually funny?
I don't know about that. I mean, sometimes it's not intentionally funny type of thing. I think...
you must have thought, hang on, I've got something here.
Or you remember feeling good at making people laugh, I guess, is the...
I think I got a vibe every now and then when I was doing my paper round and I was interacting more with adults. Mm. And they would have a bit of a dry smile or a grin about them type of thing. So it wasn't like I was cracking gags.
What did that look like? What they were just laughing. What did that look like?
A bit of a smirk, something that amused them in some way. You know, I was like, all right, fair enough, see you later.
No, but something that you'd said intentionally. Not that they're just laughing at you.
I'd never say I'm a witty person, so I'd never do a proper, you know, Des O'Connor.
But you are.
I love that Des O'Connor is your benchmark for wit.
Yeah. He's pretty good. He's on ITV for a good decade, wasn't he? They kept calling him back.
Yeah, you must think you're funny, don't you? You've got a little funny bone.
Yeah, a bit of a funny bone type of thing.
Show off.
We don't want any show-offs on this podcast. You're quite right. I don't think I've ever had a moment where people have been in absolute stitches around me type
what?
Of thing.
What?
I was hoping for a... I told a joke at school and they carried me out on... I was carried out on the piers of my shoulders and I thought, this is the moment. And I thought it was going to be everything I imagine when I think I'm funny and tell a joke.
So you never had a moment like that where...
No, I think if I look back at my school days, I wasn't really clever the way I kind of presented myself. I think I should have been a lot more wittier, charismatic. I wasn't popular at school. I didn't have quite the social skills.
I had one friend at school.
Really?
Yeah.
Very similar to myself. Very much.
I went for quality over quantity.
Well said.
Don't point.
Sorry, put the old point in a way. Put that back in its holster. Indeed.
Who's your friend?
She's still my best friend, and I'm godparent. I'm the atheist godparent to her children. She's still my best friend, and we met when we were 11, and I'm now 34.
Wow.
And who's your best friend, David? Is it James Goldman?
Yeah, he is. That was bizarre. I don't know him now. That's right. Bizarre that you remember that. But he was my friend at secondary school. But I'm not very good at keeping
him friends. You've got parents to his children?
I don't know what he's doing
David
now.
David, let her talk.
Sorry, I apologise.
I wasn't trying to say anything. I was enraptured. I was listening.
Oh, lovely, enraptured. That's a lovely word.
Is it?
Enraptured. I think that's when someone's interested.
Is it a lovely word?
It is.
I think it's I only use lovely words.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Words is a beautiful thing. Yeah. You've got to select them very carefully.
Yeah.
Enraptured.
We're all enraptured. Basically, when school came to an end, so did our relationship. Mm. But during school time, he was my only friend, similar to yours. But now I don't know what he's doing. He was quite into carpentry. So maybe he's building shelves for people. I don't entirely know. You just don't know what's around the corner in life, do you?
No, not at all. I always think it's odd when people have friendships. I'm not saying your friendship was odd, but friendships that are kind of just of a situation, and then outside of that situation you don't speak. I had a couple at university that were a little like that. And, you know, you spend so much time with them and you think, I'll know this person for the rest of my life. I know them so well. And then you graduate and have literally never spoken to them since.
Yeah, I think you've got to be quite dedicated, haven't you? I can be quite lazy.
David.
Yes?
Let her talk.
Sorry, I apologise. No, you're quite right, Charles.
Carry on.
I agree. I saw a friend of mine. I haven't seen... He's had a baby who's, I don't even know, like a year and a half. And I haven't seen him since the baby has been born. And I texted him after we went for lunch yesterday and said, oh, thank you for a lovely lunch. It was really nice to catch up. And he just replied and said, yeah, I'm really rubbish at actually seeing friends. And I had to agree, so am I. You just, life gets in the way.
I think when you have kids, definitely.
I have dogs and they're a big enough responsibility
for me. Oh, really? How many dogs do you have?
I have two and they are my babies.
Oh, wonderful. What breeds are they?
We haven't got to the breeds of dogs questions, David.
Sorry, apologies.
Every episode he asks about their dogs.
I could talk about my dogs all day.
Well, they are beautiful friends, dogs, aren't they? They're not going to turn their back on you.
No, they don't. They're loyal.
What's the most common sexual problem that you hear?
Do you know what? I was talking about this yesterday, and it is, for men, the most common sexual issue is very penis-centric.
Right.
It's usually about... strength of erection or length of erection, not the physical length, but the amount of time. So a lot of men will write to me and say, I kind of want to last a bit longer in bed. What can I do?
God,
or I'm worried about the size of my penis.
I want to last slightly less, to be honest.
I think the answer to that is Viagra. I don't know how you could stop it being less. I don't. I think
I last about 9 hours.
That must be painful.
That sting level of sex.
That really is.
Yeah.
And also, you know, the blood in your body is not being balanced in amongst your brain, your heart. It's all just in one place.
So what was it again? The strength and the length?
Strength and the length, yeah. I want a stronger erection. They're not quite satisfied with, the rigidity of the penis. Right. And also the length of time in which they can make love. I think it stems
from...
What
they write to you about that?
Yeah, because there's tips and tricks and products and lotions and potions and things, and all of which, and I don't want to talk myself out of a job, but can be accessed using Google.
Right, this is true. You can Google anything
these
days, can't you?
Yeah, you really can.
So do you think it's psychological erections or physical?
Are you the sex expert here?
Sorry?
Who's the sex expert here?
Sorry.
Annabelle, are you?
Oh, I'm asking a question. I'm not making a statement. Do you think erections are psychology or physical?
That's a very interesting question and a very valid one. For the majority of men, it is completely in their head. If you're concerned, my first piece of advice is go visit your GP. You can have some tests and you can see whether or not it's a physiological problem that you require treatment or medication for.
So you go and see your GP with an erection? Say?
Not with... Well, if you can get an erection, you don't need to see your GP.
I mean, you could be arrested for that, couldn't you?
I mean... Inside the confines of the doctor's surgery, probably not outside in the wider world, just flashing them, then yes, I'd hope so. I think so.
Well, you know, I mean, just go, you know, it's scarring, isn't it?
Have you ever met a flasher, Annabelle?
No, but someone was rubbing themselves quite aggressively. I used to live in Cockfosters, and it's the last tube stop, and I was on the tube by myself, and I was just on my phone, as I normally am. And I looked up and there was a guy. I don't know whether it was an itch or pleasuring or trying to be threatening in any way, but he wasn't making eye contact, but he really was going to town on himself.
He was in his own zone.
He was in his own zone.
Sorry. Sorry, Brian. Go for it.
Is it David?
No, after you, Dave.
I was going to say... Sorry.
No, David. You go first.
Sorry, here we go.
David? Let me go first.
Sorry, Brian, you go first.
No, Brian, you go first. No, you have a go.
Do men lose their...
No, forget it.
No,
honestly, I'm joking.
No, that's fine.
I've heard the best way to maintain strength in the penis is to pop some cooked calamari around the shaft. Is that correct?
Calamari.
Is he saying calamari or calamari?
Calamari.
Calamari. Is that
any like a fishy cock ring?
Yeah. So,
oh, good grief! Like, I think something like that.
I wouldn't advise food. I think it lacks the structural stability and integrity you might need.
Quite right.
But the idea is there. Yeah.
What's the most common problem for women? Men again, length and strength.
Length and strength for men, and women tend to write to me on less like sexually focused problems and more relationship
problems.
Feeling close with their partner, spending time, feeling valued.
Why is that?
Which I dread this question because the answer is almost sexist. Or women care about the emotions and men care about the sex. But that is, from my genuine experience, the divide that I see on a weekly basis.
That is interesting.
Why do you think that is, David?
Well, it does go to the stereotype that men are very much a caveman. They just want to get their box ticked, you know, fed.
The lizard brain.
The lizard brain, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Can you sing a quick song called The Lizard Brain, David? Go. There's a drum beat. Go.
We've all got different sized brains, looking from different perspectives, but in the centre of everyone's brain lurks a lizard and it's hungry.
The hungry lizard.
Okay. That wasn't a great song, I apologise.
No, it was brilliant.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. That's very kind of you. Thank you very much.
I enjoyed it.
What do you think you'd write to Annabelle about us?
I think it would be a case of Brian needs to open up a bit more. I think, you know, are we 100% on the same frequency?
Mm.
I think I share more than you sometimes share.
Yeah, I don't share anything.
Absolutely. You're not as... I'm very transparent. This
Pop
is
out
Dave.
The room and David, tell Annabelle the real truth.
Okay, I'm going to leave the room and David's going to tell Annabelle what he really thinks about our relationship. Okay, see you in a sec.
I think with Brian...
I'm still here.
Oh, right, sorry.
Okay, let's get my stuff. My bag.
There we go.
Get my bag and my coat.
We won't be long.
A wooden box, tools.
There we are.
And my flag.
There we go.
My flag. It's huge.
It's enormous.
I don't know why I bought it.
I didn't notice you come in with it.
Right. See you later.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
Close the door. There we go.
I'm still here. Got my foot in the door.
Yeah, you might have to move that just so...
Okay. Bye.
You can't hear anything. Okay, thank you very much. There we go. I think with Brian, it's very much a case that he's just...
What did you just say?
Sorry?
What did you just say?
We're talking about you... I didn't think you were going to... I thought you were going to stay outside.
Well, there are no rules. I can pop my head back in if I wanted to.
Well, I mean, I don't mind staying in front of you if you want to take a seat.
Do you mind this, Annabelle?
No, this is. I'm enjoying this.
Okay. All right. I'm going to go. Bye.
Bye. Take care.
Still here.
Still there.
Bye. I'm gone.
He's gone now. He's gone. I know. He does that a lot.
How do you do it?
I don't know. I mean, he's indecisive. He'll say one thing, do another.
I'm at the window.
all right. There you are, Brian. How are you? We're just having a bit of a chat.
Well, I'm coming back in again. David, is there a question you want to ask Annabelle?
Yes. Do you think the older men get...
While you ask this, I'm going to start digging our escape hole, okay?
Perfect. Get the ball rolling with that, absolutely.
Okay.
Does the men's libido start to decline?
So there are two schools of thought on this because, through study, men do have a dip in libido, but they can overcome that through continual masturbation or sexual experience.
Right.
Can you explain libido exactly?
Libido is your desire and drive for orgasm at the end of the day. So it's your sex drive, really.
Right.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, it depends on the individual. It depends on your health. If you have a poor diet and don't exercise, your libido can decrease in older age.
So imagine you've got no sex drive, David.
I would definitely say that it's dropped, and maybe it is because I don't have any exercise and my diet isn't great.
I would advise always looking after yourself from the inside out. So you start with your diet, and I'm a qualified personal trainer as well.
Oh, right.
So we say it's 70% what you eat and 30% what you do that contributes to overall physical health. So look at your diet first. Make sure you're getting plenty of nutrients and vitamins and minerals from your diet. A wide variety of plants is the most ideal thing you can eat. Then incorporate some gentle exercise and build that up as you go.
So if you're not thinking about sex at all, have you got a problem?
If you're not thinking about it at all.
If you've got a low sex drive, is that a problem?
Well, do you know what? No, it isn't. The only time it becomes a problem is if you are in a relationship with someone and your sex drives are mismatched, so one of you isn't satisfied. But, you know, I have couples that will say, oh, we only have sex once a month, is that enough? And my first question is, well, are you happy with that? Because if you are, then there's really no reason or need to focus on that area at all.
Yeah.
If the answer is, well, no, we'd like to have more sex, then we can look at different ways and methods. And I'm a very solution-focused coach, so look at the end result that everyone wants and work out a plan of how to get there.
What would be the ideal amount of sex that you'd want, David, a month?
Jerry, it depends. During the winter, because I do suffer from season disorder a bit, I've noticed more and more. I do, yes. During the winter time, I don't think hardly any. I think I'd be like a bear. I'd just go to my cave and just, you know, hibernate.
That sounds wonderful. I love the winter. I love sleeping and I love eating.
Yeah, so I think my libido just sort of vanishes.
So that wouldn't work for us, because that's when I'm at my best.
Oh, really? Mm. During the winter period?
I'm like a rabbit.
I could get one of those sunlights in the bedroom that creates a positive light effect, and that might boost up the old sex drive.
Yeah.
So I think there'd be techniques to make us more compatible.
Yeah.
During those kind of winter months type of thing.
Yeah.
I'm hot to trot in the summer.
You do your asset in the summer like nobody's business, aren't you? He's got a little metal...
phallic.
What do you call it?
Object.
It's not a penis. What do you call it, Charles?
Sort of a telescope.
Candle.
A what?
Candle.
A candle. He's got a metal candle.
Wonderful stuff. So he's got his own way to express himself sexually.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Right, David, I've got a question here from someone from Patreon, and that question is... it's a weird question, but it might open up some literally.
Okay.
I'd like to know, what's David's favourite door? That's from Tom Smith. Favourite door. So if you haven't got a favourite door, maybe there's a door from your past
I tell you what, the door I've always loved, okay, is doors to lofts. You know, ceiling doors, what are they called? Loft doors?
Hatches.
Hatches, absolutely. You bring it down, a ladder comes down.
If you're posh.
Only if you're posh.
You have to get a step ladder, cling on to the edge, hoist yourself up, and then just hope not for death as you came down.
I mean, yeah, I know some people who haven't even got a ladder. They kind of hold on to it and then use their feet like Spider-Man, push themselves in. Luckily, I've always had a ladder.
Why do you like loft hatches?
There's something a bit secretive about it. What's in there?
What is in there?
Well, it's always a disappointment when you go in there. It's just, you know, old fur coats and photo albums of the family.
Old fur coats?
Just sort of old sort of family trinkets.
Right, so the editor's going to take us to another time. You're climbing up your ladder into your family home. Loft,
looking around.
The loft. What do you see, David?
I see lots of boxes.
Loads of Care Bears.
There will be some Care Bears, hanging around.
Okay, what do you see? Can you open up a box?
Okay, so this box is... the title's Caravanning. And in here are plastic mugs, plastic plates, forks, knives, and pyjamas.
The box next to it. What's in there?
This one is Christmas decorations.
Okay, the next box.
The next box after that is family photo albums.
And the box after
boring
that?
Boring box.
The box after that is pet's ashes. We have those.
Boring box.
Well, you know, we're quite a strong relationship to some of our past cats and canines.
Boring box.
So.
There's quite there's a wooden box over there, a pretty ornate wooden box. What's in there?
I don't even know myself.
Well, open it.
Let's open it up. Goodness me, champagne flutes to drink from. Very nice on special occasions, which clearly hasn't been for a while, hence it being in the loft.
And there's a secret little hatch at the bottom of that box. Open that, and what's in there? What's your dad been keeping under the champagne flutes?
Okay, let's have a look. Well, there's a corkscrew, obviously to get rid of the champagne.
But what's the secret thing he's been hiding?
It seems to be, unwinding it and then making it large, a telescope. Very small
what
one.
What about these gay magazines?
Oh, yes, they're always knocking about. I mean, he's become very relaxed with those. He leaves them in the lounge now.
Okay.
But they were a secret, and then he just got lazy, you know, and people have become a lot more liberal now.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. The telescope's worrying, though, because it seems very voyeuristic.
Okay.
Like he's watching people.
Annabelle, have you got another question for David at all?
Yeah, I wanted to know. It's a two-part question, if you will indulge me.
Oh, absolutely. Please do.
James, the editor, can we have a little two-part question sting, please? Thank you.
What is your biggest regret from your love life, and what lesson did that teach you?
I think
two-part question ever.
Best two-part question ever. Can we have a celebratory noise?
Please do a celebrator.
And horns, trumpets. There we go. Lovely.
I think one trap I fall into a lot is I'd be interested in a lady, you know, in the workplace or perhaps one of my friend's friends, something like that, and we'll get on, and I think, oh, God, there's some potential here. We seem to be interacting, interfacing, all these different things. But I fall into the friend trap where we just become pals, and they think that's great. They've made a brand new friend. But without being too sort of nasty and a bit cutthroat about it, it's a case of, I haven't got loads of friends, but I've got that covered. Mm. You know, I was hoping for some romance and a relationship, something a bit more intimate.
So what is the lesson that you take from those experiences?
I don't know how to avoid it, really, because it just happens time and time again. It's like...
Might I suggest you ask them out?
This is true.
Excellent, excellent answer.
Go straight to that.
Have you ever do that?
I've never just... Well, that's the sort of thing you do in an American sitcom. I don't know to what extent
that's... No, it's the sort of thing people do in actual life.
Yes.
You have a conversation. Yeah. If there's a bit of a rapport and you think there might be potential, don't let the first meeting go to the second meeting without suggesting coffee or a drink. And just, you know, if it doesn't work out, then you can play it down. If it does, great. Got a date.
So do you ever ask them out?
No.
Have you ever?
Why?
I've never actually... Relationships just sort of slowly evolved and developed by themselves, really. They've never kind of had proper navigation by me. Let's go out on a date. Let's, because I don't know. I think I'd be too self-conscious and too on edge.
That's why the wording is very important. And saying let's go out on a date is that... It's like a big banner of this. This is my intent. But you can orchestrate a situation where you get to spend one-on-one time together, and you get to know each other, and then there's that natural evolvement and the organic process of meeting someone. But you're not kind of running straight for the end goal, but you are navigating towards it.
Right,
David. Can we?
That makes sense.
Can we fast forward a few weeks? You've met someone. It's a lovely lady you've met at work. And can we see what it looks like? And now you've taken that advice on board. So you've got been chatting for a day or two, you're getting on. Now,
yeah.
Now what happens? So the lady's slowly walking over to you. You've called her over, you've beckoned her over, and here she is. So let's see what that looks like with that.
Hey, Buster.
Hey.
Oh, how are you? Are you well? Lovely to see you. I like the dress and I like the hair.
Chill, dude.
She said, chill out, dude.
Sorry, I'm totally chilled out. Let's take a seat. Let's take a few
minutes. Be chill, dude.
She said, just chill, dude.
Chill, dude. I'm totally chilled. Thanks for asking. Very chilled out.
I like your vibe now.
Thank you. That's very... I've liked your vibe since the first day I met you. Listen, I'm going to get straight to the point here. Do you fancy perhaps grabbing a coffee this afternoon... or going temp and bowling, some kind of afternoon or evening activity, so we can get to know each other in a more dynamic manner.
I'm gonna slap you.
Oh.
Good. That was always my fear. This was advice given to me to arrange some kind of
date. Joking.
Oh! What a relief. That really is a massive relief. So do you fancy temp and bowling or a coffee or a Nando's?
I would love that.
Wonderful stuff. Where should we meet? Here or at this bench? Or should I go to your flat?
Annabelle, is this going all right? Do you feel like he's dealing with this lady?
I think he's covering all bases. He's done a compliment, which opened up the conversation.
That's
she
good.
Was a bit frosty at first, but you she brought her back round.
Yes.
The giving options, absolutely brilliant. Some people can be very indecisive, so that's nice to know that you've got an arsenal of date scenarios
in mind.
I'm
very flexible, yeah.
And then the option of where to meet. I think you're doing really well.
Brilliant. I mean, yeah, that's ideal. I mean, yeah, if it went like that in reality, I'd be more than happy.
Is there anyone in your life at the moment that you've got your eye on? Or
not at the moment, no. It's all gone a bit
into a dry desert. You said you like organic kind of... organic dating. Do you use any apps or websites or anything like that?
I've been on Match.com and I just didn't find it very inspirational, really.
I'm not an app and website advocate. I like the organic dating experience, which I know is very difficult in this modern day and age. But I do think if you want a relationship, they are hard working themselves. And if you're not prepared to put the work in early doors, you might not be prepared to put the work in later down the line.
Yeah, this is very true. No, you're quite right. You need a work ethic, don't you?
Yeah, a relationship work ethic. We could make maybe a chart like you had in your 14-year-old bedroom for your homework.
But oh, yes.
Like dating homework.
Yeah, that makes sense, definitely.
I say this in jest, but it is good to have a plan. I think if you... have thoughts in your head, get them down on paper, have a little list of what you want, what you're looking for, just so you're clear always.
And how would you meet them
Let's
outside
make a plan
the internet?
Right now.
Let's make a plan right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, okay, I'm more
Let's
than
make
up
a
for
plan
that.
Right now.
Okay, so what do we need first? We need your, I guess your absolute
pen.
Desires.
Need a pen.
What you
first.
Like from a relationship. Yeah, a pen.
Need a pen. I've got a pen here.
Yeah, okay. Similar interests, so I like the arts, I like cinema, television, popular culture, that type of thing.
Okay, so someone like-minded.
Yeah, someone definitely like-minded. Similar humour, I don't know what my humour is, but, you know,
no,
I have to think about that. I'd have to sit down and maybe do a mind map, laughter.
What else?
So it would be like-minded, surreal or topical humour are two arenas I can enter.
Okay, slight problem here. You are a little bit sexist.
So it's very much a case of, I perhaps was a bit of a stereotype where this is what men do, this is what women do. Women wear pink tracksuits, men wear black tracksuits if they went jogging, that type of thing. But I think things are changing and I'm happy to embrace it.
That is very good to hear.
Absolutely. I'm leaving the shadow of sexism.
As a woman, I thank you.
No, not a problem. You know, everyone can wear black tracksuits if they wish, you know.
All pink.
All pink, if you want to go that route. Yeah, definitely. Why not?
Yeah.
So we've gone for your kind of must-haves. Are there any must-have-nots?
That's good, yeah.
Must-have-nots. I think some... And I don't mean this
okay,
in a sexist...
Okay, top five must-have-nots. Go. Number one.
Not dressing inappropriately, particularly when meeting the parents and things in that...
What's that mean? What's
church
that mean?
Ready. Outfit,
yeah, sort of.
Christening
yes.
ready.
Sometimes you wander through Brighton.
It's all shouting.
Sorry, keep it low. Sometimes you wander through Brighton and you just think, goodness me, did your house set on fire? Have you just escaped? Because you know you're really not wearing much.
Okay.
You know this is W.H. Smith's. It's not a hot.
It's nice
tub.
Weather in Brighton though.
I guess. But
so,
I mean,
so you don't
you know,
like women not wearing much.
If we're having a intimate moment, not a problem. But if we're walking down the aisles of Marks and Spencers, you know, choosing granola or whatever, it'd be a case of, this is just inappropriate.
Really?
Well, everyone's gazing with their male X-ray eyes.
Are they?
Absolutely. I'm a man. I know how it works. The old lizard in the mine, in the centre of the mine, scratching away, trying to, you know, analysing and examining the flesh, you know, all those different elements. Just not ideal.
So,
pop it away.
Dress sense that is appropriate to the occasion, we'll say.
Absolutely,
okay.
For M&S.
Okay, number two.
Too much swearing becomes a bit of a hindrance.
Oh, you don't like women
I think
that
the
swear.
Odd, you know, S-bomb or, you know, bloody hell, you know, all that type of thing. Fair enough. But if it's continual, it'd be like, oh, wait a second, you've just dropped an F grenade five times.
So know your audience with your language.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Because at some point, this person's going to meet my parents.
It's all about your parents, isn't it?
Yes.
Why?
I think, well, you don't want to... it could be a very stressful situation. You know, if my dad's having his roast looking over at me, shaking his head when she's not looking.
Third must have not.
Third must not have... So
David,
no swear... Yes?
Would why or you go out with the girl with Tourette's?
Would you go out with a girl with Tourette's?
That's a hard one because part of me thinks absolutely not a problem. Love is love. Disability should not be a barrier
a
or wall
stunner.
To true love. Real stunner. But if there was endless swearing taking place, that would be problematic. If there was no swearing, she's just shouting out the name of, I don't know, a breed of dog or mumps or the weather, that'd be fine. But if it became inappropriate in any manner...
She says cunt all the time.
Yeah, no. That wouldn't be the... that wouldn't be a relationship
you know,
for me.
That is genuinely one of my favourite words.
Is it? I never feel comfortable with it.
No, it always makes my toes curl a bit.
It makes
Does
my
it?
Toes curl.
I like it. I like the hard plosive at the
I
end.
Do.
I like the hard plosive at the beginning. I think it's very... So there's a scientific reason why we like swearing. It's because the hard plosives in it help release serotonin.
It's because of the what? Because of the...
The hard plosive, the k, the t,
right,
that
yeah.
sound.
Oh, right, that's interesting.
So when you stub your toe, you swear, and that produces a chemical that actually helps numb pain. So if you... And serotonin as well, which makes you feel better. So swearing actually does make you feel better. So if someone swears a lot, there's a few schools of thought on this, but it's not completely unrealistic to think that maybe that they swear because it makes them feel better, so they might not be very happy people deep down.
Wow.
Gosh, that is...
You never swear, David.
No, I don't.
You are so zen. You must be a happy
fantastic.
Individual.
Fantastic. Yeah, I think,
I'd love
yeah.
to get your serotonin and oxytocin levels measured to prove this theory.
How would we do
theory.
That? Do we stick something
science.
Up
this?
Science. Science. Science.
Science. That, I think it said silence then. I was like, goodness me. This is a... Yeah, so have you any techniques to get more dopamine or sero, whatever it's called, in your brain?
Orgasm. Okay. Regular goodness. Masturbation is not only good for your emotional and mental health, it's also good for your physical health as it helps support your CD4 cells, which are the building blocks to your immune system.
I love
so
that.
Yeah.
It
yeah.
also produces an enzyme that helps fight the common cold. So,
do you know, when I was growing up, masturbation was very negative and none of that positivity. We shared. Sorry, Brian, that's inappropriate.
I don't like the idea of you masturbating.
David never has a cold. Oh,
you never have a cold.
No, this is true. I've never had a cold.
Is it too personal to ask how often you express solo love?
It really depends what season in the year it is. If it's the summer, the sun's out.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
winter you decline, don't you?
Winter, I really decline. So I'd say winter time, you could be looking at once a month. And even that, halfway through, I'd be like, oh, this is too much like work. I just turn over and go to sleep.
I heard about a boy who never masturbated and his bollocks exploded all over the school playground.
What?
That's incredible. Mm. That can't be true. Can
no,
it? That's
made
an
up.
Urban
no,
I was going to say, goodness, because yeah. You'd have a wet dream.
Don't say wet dream on my podcast.
Apologies. Sorry. That was too much.
Don't say it.
I won't.
Okay.
I won't at all. Apologies.
No, I mean it.
No. I'm taking that seriously. I've heard you.
Why
your
would
words.
You say that?
A wet dream. sorry. Because I think that's the science. Because when your testicles are containing a lot of...
I didn't like you saying it on the podcast.
How many wet dreams have you had?
I don't mind him saying it.
Do you know, I've never had one. That's the truth. I've never had,
one
of those. Never had one. I think because I've been regular.
Well, you've never had a cold, never had a wet dream.
Absolutely. So, you know, solo sex has been a regular activity when required.
Final must-have not.
I do know people who have got girlfriends. This is slightly inappropriate, but we're all adults. And they're very interested in the idea of... this is a bit extreme, so if it is, we'll cut it out.
Okay, quick, hang on. We have a bit of music here, James. You put some music on. Building up to David's final must-have not. Let the music play.
Quite right.
Okay, you've built it up. After you.
I know two people.
Not yet. Just let the music play. Let it build. Over to you, final must have not.
I know two people whose girlfriends have purchased for their love life a strap on, like an actual kind of dildo.
To indulge in pegging.
What's pegging? That is.
Pegging is an activity usually done by a heterosexual couple, whereby the female partner penetrates the male partner through the aid of a harness and strap-on dildo.
Yeah, I'm not interested in that.
That was a bit quick, mate. That was a bit quick.
I wouldn't need the other four. That would just
straight
be like, no, that's not
just
happening.
First of all, no, absolutely not.
Hope you kept
pegging.
The receipt for that. It's going back.
David, pitch a new sex toy to one of us.
Pitch a new sex toy.
Yes, I'd love to do a
okay,
special.
Here's David's pitch for a new sex toy to Annabelle. Here we go.
I think it would be...
No, proper pitch like The Apprentice. We'll have The Apprentice music playing. Here we go.
Okay.
My name's David and all that business.
This is...
My name's David. What's your team called?
My team is called Dungeons and Dragons. Mm-hmm. Linking with dragons,
sure.
But we're building a dungeon, an empire.
Okay.
This is for your mid-30s, mid-40s bachelor.
Okay.
And it's called a groin vibrator, similar to what women have, you know, like as appeared in things like Sex and the City, things like that. But a man can sit back in his bed, you know, his hands behind his back. They've got to turn the vibrator on, first of all, and it's like a patch.
Well, show us.
How do you mean, show you?
Can put it on now.
Okay, so you place it on your actual genitals. It's in the shape of a triangle.
I know, we can see.
Absolutely. With a wire coming out of it, it can go into any good plug, turn it on, and it begins to vibrate.
Put it on then.
It's on. There it is.
Hands free.
Yeah.
And then, like an egg timer.
I've just turned it off at the wall.
Well, we'll need it on.
Okay,
Brian.
Sorry, I'll put it back on.
Thank you very much. And like an egg timer, there's a twirl device there, which is.
A what?
What that be like?
Like a scroll wheel.
A scroll wheel. Well done. That's exactly it. And you've got from 1 to 10.
Okay.
10 is an unadvisable orgasm.
Okay.
I would go to a seven or an eight.
Can we put 1 on? Just see what that...
Okay, so it's just a very... It's
Annabelle,
an erection you might get on a bus.
Would you mind if I put the twirl device to 1?
No,
okay,
I'd insist upon it.
Just reaching over and just... There we go.
So you've got a very slight flow of blood going to the genital area,
three.
But not too much.
Up to 3.
Okay, so now a lot more blood's entering.
Back to 1.
back to one. So yeah, now it's
turning off.
The snake's gone back to sleep.
I've turned
if
it
you
off
like.
On the wall.
Turn off the wall. That's probably the best thing, really.
I'll put it back on.
Put it back on.
Up to five.
Up to five. Four. So yeah, it's coming alive again. It's got its own personality and its own independent thoughts.
What is it?
My genitals.
We have a sentient male masturbator here.
Yes, basically, yeah.
So how are you feeling, David?
Not that sexually allured.
You're trying to pitch this to Annabelle.
Oh, God, yes. it's doing what it says on the
Why
side of the tin.
Why is there a magic tree hanging off the side of it?
Why is there one of those smelly magic trees hanging off the side of it?
What, off the...
The thing you're trying to sell.
The smelly magic... Well, you know... Certain odours do appear. I mean, it is waterproof for different reasons.
What's the device called?
I don't think it is waterproof because it's a mains-powered toy, Brian.
Oh, yes. That's
David,
a very true.
Sorry.
When the wire is taken out, you can then put it in the washing machine, but not with the wire in. You're quite right.
So it's made of some kind of, which does exist, some silicon that kind of reforms after puncture. So
yes.
You take the wire out and it heals over itself.
Absolutely. And any liquids that have spilled into it can be washed
and
off as well.
What's the device called, David?
The device called is the...
Pardon?
The device... is called the libido generator.
Okay. What? Now I'm going to put it up to 8. Obviously, 10, you said it's an unadvisable orgasm. So we're obviously going to see the physical effects of this. So we're now up to 8.
So now it's, you know, I'm going into a zone. You two are blurring out. You're not as important to me now. And I'm just looking down a sexy tunnel, an erotic... Just
up
circle.
To 9. Up to 9.
Yeah, that's too much. That's unadvisable.
Almost unadvisable.
Yeah, almost unadvisable. It's not good for my health and safety. I can feel my heart beating in my head.
Do you mind me putting it up to 10, Annabelle?
I kind of want to see what happens.
Okay, up to 10. Bang.
That's what's happened. I have exploded. Simple as that.
The masochist in me is satisfied.
He's
taken
what I mean?
Off.
It's. I now feel very bruised and tender down there. That's
why would you pitch a device that could cause physical harm? Surely 8 should have been the 10.
I think when it goes in the marketplace, 9 and 10 will be rubbed out.
Okay.
We'll get rid of that or just put a line through it, whatever. And 8 will be the absolute amount.
Maximum. If for you safety.
Want, absolutely for safety. If you want a 10, you'd have to get it off the dark internet. What's it called?
The dark net.
The dark web. Yeah, the dark web.
Let's end on
quite right.
Okay, so that's the end of the episode.
Oh,
Annabelle,
really?
Sorry.
So could I have...
Annabelle.
Could I have...
Are you going to invest?
Are you going to invest, Annabelle?
I'm in.
She's in.
I'm
so
in.
Am I. I'll buy it now.
Fantastic,
David,
yes.
You have fantasies about your friend's girlfriend.
Okay, let's
oh,
end
yes,
it.
A lot.
Okay,
yes.
We'll end the episode there. So...
Fantasies are a lot easier than real things. Sorry,
okay.
sorry.
Okay, so Annabelle, thank you so much for
thank
coming. You
for
thank
me.
You.
I can't believe how
thank
quickly
you.
The time went.
I mean,
no, very knowledgeable.
We didn't dig out the camp, did we? We didn't follow through with the story.
No, we're still prisoners.
We're still prisoners, but it doesn't matter, isn't it?
We're together.
We detect.
That's
we're
the main
together.
Thing.
Absolutely, that's the main thing.
So thank you, Annabelle, for coming along.
Thank you,
David.
No, thank you for inviting me.
No, thank
me.
You.
No, thank you all.
Charles,
thank you
so much. And James the editor, thank you for all the work that you do.
Thank you, James. Greatly appreciated.
And we'll see you on the next episode. Bye-bye, everybody.
Au revoir. Thank
Don't
you.
Shout.
Sorry.
That was a Mr. Box production.